Our first reading is from the prophet Amos. And if I might comment, it's the bottom line that is important in this message. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will a new moon be over that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the scalp great and the deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. And then Paul, really a father to a son letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also the women should adorn themselves in respectful apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. He also said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. And the manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, it's always nice having the readings for us to look at from our lectionary series. It gives us opportunities to have a good set of readings that follow through the whole Bible, making sure we cover the full breadth of Scripture, and especially on a week when you've been taking a few days of vacation to remodel your house and move bedrooms and have your allergies all messed up. It's a great thing to have that lectionary there to assist with preparation for Sunday. And then sometimes the lectionary gives you three readings that are not easy ones. Since Marty did a great job tackling the gospel lesson for us, I'm happy to take a look at the epistle lesson. And if you were listening to the whole epistle reading, there might be a few things that popped up that sound a little bit foreign to our 21st century West Coast ears that would again make this a difficult reading. I would like to preach on the epistle, and I would like actually to preach on the first half. For the second half of the epistle reading, I would like to have a time after service. If you'd like to join together, we can have more of a discussion, almost like a Bible study time together to work through it. I really would like to preach about the first half. I'll keep my sermon today a little bit shorter, making time for us after service. If you'd like to stay following service and have a good discussion about 1 Timothy chapter 2, especially verses 11 through 15, then as I'm greeting people and shaking hands on the way out, you can make your way towards the front pews and I'll come back in and we'll have a good discussion together. Suffice to say, in case you can't stick around for the discussion time after, there are three main points about that section I'd like us to consider. First, taking a look at verse 11 from our epistle reading, where it says, "Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness." A good laugh, right? Thank you. This is why we're having a discussion about it. This is the operative word, the key word is there, is to let them do it. You may recall that for the time that this was going, Christianity is doing something different. Women were not invited into the inner part of the temple for that deep learning time. This is an encouragement. Let the women come in. This is the Christian church is brothers and sisters on earth. This is not a divisive setting aside women. This is a bring them in. Let them be a part of it. Second point. Let's see here. Yes. Rather, she is to remain quiet at the end of verse 12. Recall, and I'll cover this in the sermon, verse 2 talked about how we should all have a quiet life, a peaceful and quiet life. This is a reminder that not only are women welcome into worship, which we're thankful all are, but also they are part of the whole together, not a different entity, not a different group. We are all to lead a quiet and peaceful life in honor and service to God. Again, nothing separate or different. The third point, verse 15. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Again, that sounds a little bit confusing. So I'm saved through childbearing? Oh, boy. Note that this is following a section where he's already told men what they need to do because the men are not lifting up holy hands in prayer, but they're out quarreling and fighting. And so saying to the women, you don't need to fill the role that they're supposed to be doing. God had assigned that men would be in the position of pastor, and women should not be seeking to take that authority over, but rather men should be, A, doing their job, and then B, women were given an equally important task, something that men cannot do. Again, different than our 21st century ears might always hear, that God has given a very specific wonderful assignment that only women can accomplish, and that is childbearing. And all of the original Bible scholars, early church scholars, all also say this points to actually the birth of Jesus. Through a woman, salvation literally came into the world as part of God's plan and promise from the beginning that the seed of the woman would be the salvation of the whole world. So, it's not as big, bad, and ugly and scary as you might think it might be for our 21st century West Coast ears. I would love to have a further discussion on it, though, afterwards. With our focus, then, instead, on the first half of our epistle reading, we get to hear about prayer and leading a peaceful and quiet life. Praying for all. Praying for all those who are in leadership, kings and all in high positions. Praying for all people, because we have a God who desires that they would all be saved. That is an important message that we need to hear, not just today or in these last 2 weeks since the murder of Charlie Kirk, but throughout time and history. Whether or not you are on one side of a political divide or the other, I've heard from many members of our church who do not have the exact same political views. These last 2 weeks have been a really trying time where people's hearts and minds are disheveled, where we are not at quiet and peace in our own mind, but perhaps discord or loud noises, rather. Having a mind and a heart that is full of contention and fear, concern, hatred, sadness. People don't all know how to feel about different things. And especially when things like this happen, when awful things like this happen. It is hard to have a quiet and peaceful heart, to lead a quiet and peaceful life. Rather, we find that our minds and our hearts tend to be in more disarray, more confusion. Paul, through God's word here, gives us the key, the answer, to where we can find peace, how we can have a quiet heart and a quiet mind. We find it in prayer. Through prayer, even in times of great sadness or confusion or frustration, even times where we can't seem to quiet our own minds down, through prayer to God, we find peace. All because, as our reading says, we have one God and one mediator between God and men. Because we have Jesus Christ, who is our mediator, our go-between, the one who speaks to the Father on our account, the one who has made us right before God the Father because he ransomed his life for all, we can pray and talk to God. You, who are indeed like me, a sinner, one who does not have a quiet and peaceful heart at all times, one whose mind would cause me to wander and stray from trusting in God, because we are sinners, we are so thankful that we have Jesus Christ, who did die on the cross, ransoming himself so that we would not be separated from God, but can be close to him. Can come to him in prayer, can ask him for any and all things. You are able, you are encouraged to bring everything before God. Again, like I said, I have heard from many people and at different times, times when I wasn't expecting it. We're shoveling something, moving something around, and man, I'm just feeling really frustrated about the murder of Charlie Kirk. Or about, for honestly, many other reasons. It feels like this is a particular season of great unquiet, unpeacefulness. Pick your synonyms, or antonyms for that matter. In all of it, in all of our sorrow, confusion, anger, frustration, we find peace in the fact that we can talk to God. That first verse that I haven't mentioned yet. I urge that all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. You know, we can tend to break up what those different types of prayer are. Supplications, we tend to ask for ourselves. Intercessions, we more intercede or ask for other people. Thanksgiving, of course, thanking God for all that we have. And I don't know that Paul is meaning for us to like really delve into that, all the different types of prayer, but just that in all things, we can pray in all ways and for all people, especially for those who are in leadership, especially for those who are not saved. God desires that all would be saved through that same ransomed blood of Jesus Christ. Prayer for them, prayer for us. It is good and pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. And I can't help but point out one thing real quick. We're studying in our adult Bible class before service, we're studying chiasms, a fun form of Hebrew poetry that helps you key in on a central main thought that's being shared with us. There happens to be one today, so I couldn't pass up the opportunity because I tend to geek out about these things just a little too much. If you want to see me excited about, you know, words and random verses, please come next Sunday. It'll be very exciting at 8:30. But the key point of this first half of our epistle reading is verse 5. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is only one true God, and that one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has provided for you a way to be together with himself. God wants you to spend time with him. In this reading about prayer and kings and others and salvation for everyone, these are all good things, all perfect things. But all keys around the fact that you have a direct line to God. You have the bat phone. You can pick up and call him immediately when you want. And sometimes it rings and you just have to pick it up. You have the perfect connection to God through your Savior, Jesus Christ. When you're feeling in doubt, concerned, frustrated, angered, shocked, when you don't know how to find quietness and peace in your own self, pray and talk to God. Pick up the phone. Give him a call. Spend time in silence after talking and see what he has to share with you in your heart and your mind. Receive the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding. There's a reason I end most of my sermons that way. To remind us that we have a God who cares about each of us deeply. And that in all of our joys or struggles, he is there to provide for us what we need. We can't all calm ourselves down or our own hearts or minds. Can barely calm our own bodies down when we're really excited about something. Pray and talk to God. Spend time with him. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.